Warning, the following podcast contains supernatural themes and explicit language. Listener discretion has been advised.
I'm serious, dude. What do y'all think about this, man? Hey, baby, get some bubble gum in this motherfucker, something. My baby, get some of y'all. Study long, study wrong, man.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kinda hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But I, somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky-ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few ends as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the doors. But
what?
We don't love them hoes.
Yeah. So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hoes down, why you motherfuckers bounce to this?
Rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back.
With my mind on my money and my money.
I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in.
Now how you going, Wes?
Not bad. Welcome back to Myths and Legends Podcast, CQ. CQ, Myths and Legends Podcast.
Yep, episode 9. Yep. I can't believe we've made it to 9 episodes.
It continues to amaze me that we're actually still recording.
And we're on time. We said 2 weeks.
We're actually ahead of schedule.
Holy shit.
Because I released it last week.
Yeah, true. So look at us go.
We're on top of the world.
We're getting a great response, especially to something we were just going to do for a bit of fun, for a bit of hobby. I think, you know, people enjoy learning the weird and wonderful stories about the town they live in.
Yeah, they just like hearing shit. Apologise if you can hear the dogs barking in the background, but I live in a fucking zoo, apparently.
Where's the studio / dining room? It's in the middle of suburban Rockhampton, so I'm sure you don't mind.
2 doors down from Jack River's house.
Yeah, if you want to know about that episode, look back for the Frederick Deeming episode. It's a fucking ripper.
Actually, met some fans of the show on Saturday night.
Ooh, cool.
2 of them.
Yeah?
They were the 2 guys that were sitting, drinking, I was talking to at the end of the night there.
Yep.
Yeah, Kevy and Ben.
Shout out to Kevy and Ben, always good to have you at the comedy gigs. And we had a fucking pearler, I think, Wes. If I don't mistaken, that was probably the best set you've had. Of just continuous laughs.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It's weird when you're on stage, and like, you know this, but like people listening wouldn't, you don't tend to hear people laughing.
Yeah. Or you hear them laughing, but that's the only sound you can really tell.
Yeah. And like,
you're more listening for the quiet.
I usually fixate on a person.
Yeah, I do too.
I was just so happy that that was one of the young guys from the club there. Yeah. The young, what's his name?
Andrew.
Yeah, the 2-stripe kid.
Yeah.
Man. He was fucking loving it.
So we had a huge fucking weekend. We had a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu grading on Saturday.
Yes.
In the daytime. And on the Friday night, we had a comedy gig at the Rockhampton Comedy Club.
Yeah, and I worked.
And shout out to everyone here. You worked afterwards. Shout out to everyone that came along. I think we had about 50 or 60 people there, which is a huge fucking night. 50
or 60? Yeah, about 40, I think.
Yeah?
About 40. Yeah. It was good. It was really good.
It was good. I mean, everyone was on fire.
People love the Sale Yard's ramen gin.
Oh, man. I tell you, last couple of times I've been out, I took Snoop Dogg's advice and I started drinking gin and juice. Well, I've listened to that song for so many years, I was like, I want to know what this shit tastes like. Oh, it is fucking delicious.
That's going to be an intro song, this gin and juice.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
I've never drank gin.
Really?
Never.
Ever?
Never, ever.
And did you drink it there, did you?
No, I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, because you were working that night, because you're a responsible security guard.
You got to be zero, because I don't want to lose my license.
Yeah,
for 10 years.
No pun intended there.
No, I've just never tried it. I have tried their rum, though.
Yeah. I think the gin is award-winning, and the rum is beautiful. But I can't. Bundy's like crack cocaine for me. I can't seem to get away from it.
Well, I find that if you're not a Bundaberg rum fan, which a lot of my mates that were there
yes.
aren't,
yep.
they're not fans of it, they really thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, the rum, you're right. Not usually rum drinkers. You're right. And to be honest, when I got a full bottle, I ended up drinking my bottle over a couple of weeks. And when I went back to Bundy out of habit, I won't lie, it did taste like an ashtray for the first week.
Wait, look. We live under this false illusion that Bundaberg rum is good.
Yeah.
Bundaberg rum is the hairy dog of the rum world.
Agreed. Like, the good way to tell is, could you drink it straight on ice? Fuck no.
Hang on. Correction. Some of the special makers blends that they're doing, the
Yeah.
Probably. But I got so sick on Bundaberg rum when I was a teenager. Like, I'm going to knock on the window one night. And it was like, hey, we're having an after party. You want to come over? I'm like, yeah, right. Stole dad's 700ml bottle. I remember it had George Gregan on the front of it. It was during the Rugby World Cup.
Shit.
Stole that.
Because that's going to be easy to replace.
The only thing that I had was a 125 bottle of Pepsi Max. And I drank that whole bottle of rum. And I was so sick. So sick.
And your dad had dreams of probably collecting that bottle.
No.
Oh, no.
It was,
okay.
World Cup was on, so that's... Yep. I just remember looking at George Gregan in the dark.
You'll have to eBay that and buy him a replacement one just for a laugh. That would be hilarious. We used to do rocket fuel. So you used to take like a little bit out of every one of mum or dad's fucking alcohol collection and mix it up, and you know, we used to think that was a cocktail.
I remember at Schoolies, now this is going back, when I went to Schoolies, the top floor of Bayview, there was girls, grammar girls up there.
Ah, yeah.
And they had a party in their unit, and it was $5 to get in, and it bought you a red cup. You know the red cups?
Yeah.
And they had Farmer's Brew in there. Oh. Farmer's Brew was just everything mixed together.
Fuck,
two cups of that, and I'll speak in Swahili.
I've heard other stories about those famous parties up there, too. Yeah. I think the owners at the time was their daughters or something, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. They used to work at Leonard's, all these girls.
Yeah, wow. Shout out to the Bayview Leonard's girls trying those fucking awesome parties. I mean, this is the time...
2003.
Do you remember the BNSs in Rocky about that time?
Yep.
You got a cup on a string,
yeah.
And you drank from troughs of rum.
Well, but they remember, like, they had... It used to go for, like... All these young'uns these days will remember.
Yeah, yeah.
They used to go for like 4 days.
Fuck, yeah. And including the recovery at the race course.
The running of the bulls.
Fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I went 2 years in a row and I got put in the cage. For those of you who don't know what the cage is, it's not a fight cage. It's a fucking naughty boy cage or naughty girl cage. Instead of throwing you out of a BNS, they had a mid-level. And the mid-level was you were given a time penalty in a cage, literally a locked up cage in the middle of the party where friends could make fun of you and you couldn't drink in there.
Today's kids would die if that happened.
Oh, man, I remember...
They'd come out broken, probably a bit of brain damage.
I just happened to have a white flat top half mohawk 1 year and I decided to go in like... my decided to go in my Eco Unlimited red singlet, wool singlet and with white sunnies.
You're a speed dealer.
I thought I looked unique until as I walked in, someone yelled out, "Look, it's Bubba!" And I remember Bubba off Krusty Demons?
Yeah.
So that for most of the day, I was Bubba. And then by the time that night came around, I was a bit drunk. And let's just say, you know, I thought, oh, I'll meet some girls. What's better to meet girls than put on an Irish accent? So I'm like, well, you know, ladies, you Australian women are so fucking beautiful. You know, it's like you're coming... It's like you come in two types, sexy and sexier, whereas Irish women come in two sizes, big and fucking bigger. So I've bunged on this Irish accent all day, managed to like get a couple of chicks with me out to the nightclubs. I get to the door of the nightclub and I'm fucking blind.
They're like, hey, Charles.
Yeah, and I go, hey, man, how you going? And they realize that I'm not Irish and proceed to beat me with their heels off. You know when they take their heels off and fucking wail on you?
With their shoes.
I cop that for about 5 minutes.
Man, they're like hammers.
They're like scythe, you know.
They're like little hammers. They're you know, like on the bus windows. Yeah. Those little emergency hammers that are pinpointed to smash glass.
But you know what? I've never seen a chick, and I bounced for a long time. I've never seen a chick attack another chick with heels. That's it's hair pulling when they fight. The heels specifically to even the fucking odds up.
Yeah, that's a leveler. You know, when I worked in the plumbing stores, I had to go out and do quotes.
Yep.
And I got called when the ginger mule was big, you know?
Oh, yes.
And they insisted on having porcelain toilets and cisterns. Every Monday, I'd go there to price them up for new porcelain cisterns. And you'd fucking think it was the men's toilets. It was the women's. And like, I went in there once and there was a fucking stiletto and she had hammered it through the side of the cistern and it got stuck, so she left it there. How would you not find that person? They're walking around with one shoe on.
That would be a fucking legend art piece. You can display that in a museum now.
Do you know Randall?
No, these are all people that came after my nightclub time.
He's a plumber, but he's the jiu-jitsu, judo teacher in town.
Yeah, Randall, good guy.
Fucking savage.
Yeah, I mean.
He's a savage, man. But yeah, he's the guy who used to always do the work there, and he's like, you got to come look at this. The fucking heel jammed in the thing.
I remember I was working at Cocktails and Dreams in the Gold Coast. It would have been about 96, 97, somewhere around then. I was only a young punk, but fucking having the time of my life. Literally, party drugs had only really just come out pretty strong.
Yeah.
Right? And
so what's this? Early 2000s?
Like, no, this is 96, 97, I said.
Late 90s.
Yeah, and the first drug to hit was speed, but this was just before that when people were still dancing to things like Don't Break My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart. No techno had come out at the nightclub.
So no EDM.
Nothing like that. So I go away for like, I don't know, about a month. I think I fucking go for a little mission up the coast and I come back. And my boss says to me, oh man, you got to be careful. There's this new fucking drug in town and it's called speed and it makes guys fucking indestructible.
Oof.
And I'm like, what do you mean indestructible? He's like, just makes them stronger, fitter, faster and better. I'm like, all right. He goes, you can tell how much speed's everyone having. I dare you to go and look at the toilet floor halfway through the night.
Pull a little bag.
And I'm like, well, yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? So I go in there. I'm wading my feet through a sea of little baggies.
Oh,
like,
man.
Ecstasy. This is when Ecstasy first came out as well. Speed. Like, basically, you know, those
just
days.
Just all hit in a day.
Just thousands of little plastic bags.
And then Darude dropped.
No. No, that's way later.
Just like ripping their fucking hair out.
Do you know what the first techno song that got big in nightclubs was? Excalibur. Remember it was done to that old school Mozart song and they put techno with it?
Oh, yeah.
That was the fucking first one, man. And then about a year later, fucking laser pointers come out. So we thought...
I remember when they came in. Dude, fucking expensive.
Man. Yeah, and we thought we would be real tricky. We would, as bouncers, carry the laser pointers. And if you spotted a cunt doing something wrong and the other bouncer was close, you'd wiggle the light on him.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd know who he's meant to throw out. This lasted for a month.
And then every...
And there were thousands of laser dots hitting the club fucking...
This is back when cunts could smoke in clubs too.
All right, man, there was a girl...
You would have seen that beam.
Bro, boom, there was a girl walking around with a tray
with
free samples of cigarettes on it for you to try because then you might go and buy that packet of Winfield or that...
It's funny, and you stand up the other night, you were telling a joke about...
You could smoke in hospitals.
Smoking on a plane.
Yeah.
when you were telling that joke, I remember watching an episode of Air Crash Investigators from the 70s. And they pieced together the wreckage. And they found this orangey-brown stain ran all along the fuselage and had nothing to do with the crash. They couldn't figure out what it was. And then they realized that orangey-brown stain led to a split in the fuselage. And it was where all the tobacco smoke was getting out.
Holy fuck.
And that was the point of origin where it split apart.
Oh, how's that?
Yeah. Because they had a picture of what a cabin looked like back then. And it was like a fucking cloud cover.
Big time.
Of just smoke. It's a sealed capsule. Imagine being in there for fucking 12 hours.
Dude, imagine flying to America. 26 hours, 28 hours back then.
London.
Oh.
A couple of days.
It's like
you get out with cancer.
So today's episode, I like this. I get to be passenger, and Wes has a surprise for me.
It's not a big one.
Hey, it's something I don't know about.
It's more just a chit chats episode. This one, cause
we'll call it
lighten it up a little bit after the last couple murder episodes.
We have sucked the fun out of the podcast the last couple, but they've been great casts.
Yeah, but smoking's fucking bad, man.
Smoking is bad. You didn't have a choice secondary smoking back then. If you're at a nightclub, you probably smash 10 cigarettes without even smoking.
Bouncing, man, you don't have a choice either. Because usually the door is at the smoking area and you constantly just stand there and they... Yeah, so how's your day going? Write it in your face.
You never realise how much your clothes stink of cigarette smoke.
Until you come home.
Until you come home and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Like, there was a dude there on Saturday night and he was smoking fucking cigars.
Ugh.
And he's like, he was
sugar tipped or fat ones, like fucking
fat ones.
Arnold Schwarzeneggers, I call them.
He was a, pardon the French, he was a fucking weird cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd been at the model show all day. So he was like, I don't know what he was, I think he was trying to like put across the image of Al Capone on holidays.
Yeah, there. Was he even doing the one finger over the top holding it?
He was doing it like this. And he was doing it.
Wait, did he have a cigarette cutter?
Yeah. He come out and he had the stogie, right? And he'd be like, cut the end off of it. And he had the lighter, but he had the, you know, the white cane bowler hat that
Brian
used to wear?
Oh my God.
And he had that on.
Was it's he like, going back to Jurassic Park at the end of the
day? Yeah, I was like, no expenses spared.
We're going to have to ask Brendan who this dude was, because he sounds like a proper character.
Oh man, and like, he was drinking gin and like, it's just weird.
Was he drinking gin and botanicals?
Oh fuck, I don't know. I was waiting for someone to roll up and shoot him with a Tommy gun. But he's just a weird guy in his 50s, you know, real awkward now. But anyway, so I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah.
Now, this is 100% fucking true.
All right.
I argue with every cunt when I tell their story. But I used to travel away a lot to tournaments and things like that.
Yeah, tournaments of?
I'm a war gamer.
Okay.
I play Warhammer. That's what I do.
So if people don't know, it's basically like live video games. That's like you can touch. It's like...
Yeah, it's like chess, but on a big table.
Yeah, with lots of different characters. That Wes is fucking amazing at painting. He can create real worlds in the miniature. So go on, Wes.
So we used to travel away for it. It was always a boys' weekend. This is before kids, obviously.
Yeah.
We used to leave early to get down there early
yeah.
and run a fucking muck in Brisbane. Usually we're on the piss by midday, you know? Now, I used to have a guy that lives with me called Davo.
Shout out to Davo.
Now, Dave is an electrical engineer for Main Roads, and he's in charge of doing like all your fucking satellite flashing signs telling you to slow down and all that sort of shit. That's what he does. So he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He's not an idiot. But back then he was called Homeless Dave because he lived with me. He was a uni student. He was a surfy bum and he had long hair and he used to wear fucking...
Just you know, couch surfing.
The hippie fucking headscarves and shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I bet he pulled the bitches.
He did. you know, Dave was... I don't know. He was a uni student. We'll just say that.
Good on you, Dave.
Now, the other guy that was in the car was Sharpie. And Sharpie is a fucking little wild fucker minor. And at that stage, I think he was only like 20.
Yeah.
So we're only young. Well, I was only 26 at the stage. Same with Dave, he was only 26. We just get to Merriam Vale and it's just coming on dawn.
Yep.
Okay, it's winter. We're driving along. And you know how they've got like the low side of the road? Like the road's built up there because it's a floodplain?
Yeah.
It's winter, so the grass is like grey, brownie, burnt, you know,
where
dead colour.
Where you actually at on the drive, like?
So we're about 5 km south of Merriam Vale.
Okay, yep.
It's like farmland, cattle and lots of shit there. Now, me and Dave both see something. We spot off the side of the road what I immediately recognise. Now, I grew up watching National Geographic.
Yes.
World Around Us, Frank Warwick, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
I know what a fucking lion looks like. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not an idiot. This wasn't a lion, it was a lioness.
Holy fuck.
And it was the same colour as the dead grass. And it's like fucking stalking cattle. I spot it. It starts moving quickly because there's a car all of a sudden. Because I wasn't driving a V8 then, I was driving the wife's at the time. She had a small Mazda, so the cunt was whisper quiet.
Yeah.
We've come around the bend. Dave spots it. And we're like, what the fuck? And Sharpie in the back has a momentary glance. He spots the cattle in the field. He doesn't see the fucking cat that is prowling in the dead grass. So you had to see it when the lights hit it to notice it. It was camouflage, man. And I'm like, fucking drove faster because it's a fucking full-size lion.
Fuck yeah.
And if you've ever seen one, these cunts are big, man. They're not fucking small. Like, body a bit longer than this table.
Yep.
That's not including the tail.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, Dave.
5K south of Miriam Vale.
Yeah, so I go from doing like 80 to fucking 150 driving away from this thing. I don't know how fast I can fucking run. I know they got claws on them like knives.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, and the thing is, man, I always used to pull up on the highway, get out, have a piss. Fuck yeah,
as you do in
shit,
Australia.
You know? And I like to Dave, I'm like, what the fuck was that? And Dave's like, there was a fucking lion. He's like, it was a lioness. And I'm like, so you seen a lion? He's like, yeah. I'm like, that's what I fucking saw. I'm like, and Sharp is in the back. It was a cow. I'm like, it was a fucking cow. I'm like, we'll do a U-turn. We'll go back. And Dave's like, don't. Do not go back. What if it is a fucking lion and it's fucking waiting for us? I'm like, yeah, that's true. So we kept going. Kept going. We talked about this all the way to Brisbane. The whole time Sharpie's like, you saw a cow. Like, it wasn't a fucking cow. There's two of us. I didn't say, hey, look, there's a lion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We
two
both
people
came to this conclusion. Yep. And like, we got down there and I'm telling Cunts, like, oh, who else saw it? I'm like, oh, Sharpie said it was a cow, but he was playing, at the time, he was playing Game Boy in the back of my car.
Probably Pokemon.
He was playing Pokemon. Boom. He didn't see anything. Okay? His eyes aren't adjusted
to
the dark.
Does he listen to this podcast?
Oh, he might. But I tell him all the time, you fucking missed out, man. Yeah. It was a fucking lie. So anyway, we get to Brisbane and I'm telling people, and they're like, you saw a lion? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, well, who else saw it? I said, oh, Dave. And they're like, oh, yeah. Dave saw it too, huh? How much weed have you been smoking? You know, just straight away, because hippie Dave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
you can't, you know, mass hallucinate. No.
Well, we got to Jin Jin. We talked to a truckie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we hear stories of big cats all the time. Straight away, I'm like, vindicated. And like, don't get me wrong. This is only a few years after I seen the Ferry Bow Road.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Definitely wasn't that. This was definitely a fucking lie.
Yeah.
So, fast forward 3 years. I'm at Soundwave. We go to a gun shop with my mate Wusty to load up on ammo. They have a sale.
These two things didn't go together that well, Wes. No. Just
it's cheap, right? Cheap
to shop in Brisbane, yeah.
So
cool.
we're in the ammunition shop.
Yep.
And there's a heap of South Africans in there.
Yes.
And they're talking about shooting big cats and all that. And my mate Wusty knows that I'd seen a lion. He's like, oh, you want to shoot a big cat? Have a talk to this big fella here. He's seen one. And they're like, oh, yeah, whereabouts did you see it? And they come over and they've got the fucking map out. And they're like, what was she? Was she a big girl? And I'm like, yeah, she was fucking here. She was prowling. And they're like, oh, yeah, she's stalking. There might be more than one then. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? And they're like, oh, we hear about this all the time, about big cats in Australia. Like, fuck. So I had to draw on a map where it was.
Yep.
They're like, oh, we're heading up that way. We'll have a look. Cool. But like that,
because they
believe me straight away.
Shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, yep, okay, big cats. Australia is perfect for these types of creatures to just disappear.
Especially traveling zoos, man.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? Fucking oath.
Fucking, you wouldn't tell me that fucking Western Plains Zoo, right? Do you think they'd report to the media if a fucking cat disappeared?
And what about in the 1900s? You can own whatever animal, exotic animal you wanted if you were a land baron.
Up until the 60s, man.
Yeah, fucking oath.
You know?
What about in America? There's more fucking big cats bred in captivity there for sale to private collectors than there have ever been big cats in their countries.
Yeah.
They're like, instead of a puppy farm, they've got tiger farms.
That's like, they think the skunk ape of South America, of yeah, Southern yeah. America, yeah, like yeah. Louisiana, the state that needs a wall built around it. they think that is some sort of weird evolutionary offshoot of chimpanzees.
Fuck.
That were released during the 60s
yep.
because you had to have a permit all of a sudden.
So they're just
because
like
chimpanzees were going nuts and fucking mauling.
Chewing people's faces off, yeah.
So they reckon that the skunk ape that everyone sees is a weird adaptation.
So did you ever Google Miriam Vale tigers or lions escaped?
Never found anything.
Research that. Again, if there's no way of letting people know other than Telegraph.
I get an email the other day, and it's from Dave. And the email goes,
your co-witness.
Yeah. Keep in mind, he's an electrical engineer now for the government.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, we saw a fucking lion, no doubt about that. Apparently, not that uncommon for people to say they have seen a big cat in the Australian bush. sends me a link. Go straight to ABC News article.
Yep.
From the 22nd of January. Do big cats really prowl in the Australian bush? I'll read you the article. It says, have you ever seen a big cat in the Australian wild? Not just an oversized house cat, but a panther, lion, or tiger. Man, I would shit my fucking pants if it was a tiger.
Oh, bro.
Those cunts don't fuck about, man.
They vibrate your atoms when they just do the throat noise when I'm at fucking dream world, man. Yeah.
That's infrasound. That's that shit that stuns prey.
And makes your fucking asshole pucker up. That's what it does.
You know they're solitary animals? Because they've got like fucking eight of them at Australia Zoo, but they can only have one on display at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're right, lions are a pack. Like, you always see them in packs.
Lions are packs.
Never see fucking tigers in a pack. No.
Yeah, lions are pack hunters. They're one of the only cats that are pack hunters, actually, because all the rest of them are like solitary.
Sorry, go on with the article.
If you have, or at least think you have, then you're not alone. Many Australians say they've encountered some kind of mysterious big cat in the bush. So is there a whisker of truth to this? Or are these all just alleged sightings? Whisker of truth. I like how they did that. This is good. Morning Bulletin should hire this person. In the central Victorian town of Lancefield, it's not hard to spot a big cat. Right in the centre of the main street, the hulking frame of a jet black panther stands ready to pounce. Cast on steel, the statue appeared mysteriously in the middle of the night in 2015. Made by an anonymous artist, it stands as a monument to all the rumoured local sightings of big cats over the past 30 years.
Holy fuck.
Local Dr. Paul Carter had a farmer visit his GP practice in 1988, claiming to have made a sighting. We had a local character who came in an extremely agitated state, saying that he had sighted the panther. It was obvious that he was pretty inebriated. Okay, this isn't helping, Dave. I don't know. While Dr. Carter doesn't believe the panther story himself, he says many locals have told him they have seen big cats. I've had people take me out to their property to show me footprints in the mud by their house because they were so frightened they were going to be taken by a panther. John Nightingale, who owns a local cafe and gallery, says he's also seen one. We were driving down a track, not often used. There was thick ferns either side and they were about 2 meters high. And all of a sudden, there was a flash, he said. It was black, it was long, it was quick. People have said it was a wallaby or a kangaroo, but no, it wasn't. So my theory is it was a panther.
I believe, man, there's unlimited kangaroos and wallabies to eat. Which
perfect prey.
Herd, and they lay down in the grass and chill out at times when you could, you know, obviously not going to get one in full flight.
Yeah.
But fucking oath, I believe it.
I'd say that there's a 99.9% chance that there's panthers around the area. And then it goes on, a curious history. And it's got like photos of locals in northern Victoria that shot dead a puma that escaped from a circus.
Fucking Jesus. I've seen some
wild cats. These cats not pregnant when they escape? They might have litters.
Have you seen some photos of wild cat hunters?
Big wild cats?
Fuck, man. Like fucking 2 meters long with the tail. You know what I mean? Massive body.
Super feline, or what do they call them?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they turn real feral.
And that's the thing, like we've talked about in other episodes, Australia actually thick inhabited, it would be 5% of Australia. You know what I mean? If that, it'd be 5%. So they got 95% to have a fucking ball in.
And like, cats adapt to fucking anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, it goes on. It says that, you know, we've had all these animals, like pets and mascots and things like that, that were brought over by the military as mascots that were then released or ran away.
Yep.
Especially when they came back from North Africa. They reckon they were loaded with fucking animals when they came over. They're like, oh, we're back from the war. And they're like, oh, you can't have that here.
Yeah.
What do you mean I can't have my fucking lions? Better let them go. Boom, just let them go. All
right. Or everything's getting moved mainly by rail crash. Horse and cart, fucking there's a nightmare in them waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many instances they could have got loose.
There was no border patrol, man. That's what it says here. Particularly in the 19th century, where you didn't have quarantine regulations like we have today.
I mean, I was even thinking too, the creature of Fairy Barrow Road could quite well be a fucking type of bear.
It could be.
Do you know what I mean? Because bears would have been in that list.
The thing I posted on the page? what is this? And it had the body of a dog, but the head of a bear.
Fucking oath.
What the fuck was that?
What the fuck?
That was creepy as fuck. It looked like it was friendly, but bears look friendly too. You know?
Did you see they found more evidence that the Younger Dryas meteor impact is actually true?
Oh, really?
That 12,500 years ago, there was a massive impact.
For those listeners that don't know, that aren't enlightened by the Joe Rogan Experience, you might want to run by what the Younger Dryas is.
Absolutely. Well, the best way to hear it on Joe Rogan is the episodes with Randall Carlson and Graham Hancock. So they've been basically trying to prove for years that this is the true extinction event, and what ended the last ice age was a meteor impact hit the North American ice shelf. You know, and like, and that they're rewriting science books. So for years, we were, the Americans especially, were told that the mammoths that lived in North America were hunted to extinction, which, you know, basically now with research, they realize, no, there were fucking millions of them. You're not going to eat millions of mammoths. We have rock
fucking spears.
Yeah.
A mammoth is huge.
And they've found a few mammoths now perfectly frozen in the permafrost still, and with flowers and grass in their stomachs, and frozen to the point of, and I won't go into detail, but if you look into the podcast, basically Mr. Birdseye, you know, the Birdseye frozen vegetables?
Yeah.
He was the first scientist to master snap frozen.
Yeah.
So he, you know, so he, at the time he was a multimillionaire. He just created this amazing technology. As a scientist, they brought him in to study this mammoth, and he worked out that it froze in less than an hour. That's the only way you can. So what's happened is the meteors hit.
Yeah.
It sent a giant plume of ice and water into the sky because it hit kilometers thick ice shelf. And when that came down, it basically fucking snap froze everything around it. And what came next was one of the biggest floods that's ever been on the earth.
It carved out a lot of America.
Yeah, the floods carved out a lot of America.
Because they found not only mammoths, they found like mastodons and all sorts of shit.
Have you seen the mammoths in Russia?
The ones they find in the ice.
The millions of them, millions of tons of ivory. So
yeah.
That's a reason why elephants are being saved right now, is that the Russians have got this perfect... like bringing in...
It's black ivory, isn't it?
It's all types of ivory, exactly the same as elephant ivory, some of it. But there's millions of tons of it, and it's literally flooded the ivory market that you don't need an elephant anymore to hunt an elephant illegally. For a couple of dollars a kilo, you can get fucking mammoth tusks.
Because I watched that Gold Rush.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they find mammoth tusks all the time.
Yeah.
And usually when they find mammoths, they've died in a riverbed.
Yep. Yeah.
So
yeah,
around when they find flood. Where they find the mammoth, they usually find a ton of gold.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But their tusks are massive, man.
Oh, bro, it's basically, you know, ivory is back, but it's in mammoth form.
How cool is that? Having a bit of ivory.
You should see that they show, like, it's on this doco I watched, it's basically a bank next to a river. And as the bank erodes each year after winter, the tusks are just sticking out waiting for you. Because even the skulls will break down a lot quicker, the bone will break down a lot quicker, but the ivory, being the hard as it is, that it stays there, man. And tusk upon tusk. There's photos, if you Google it, there's photos of trucks just fucking full of mammoth ivory.
Yeah, because they were doing that in Canada as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Getting that shit up, because it was huge in the early 19th century.
Yeah.
Ivory trade from mammoths.
Yeah. So, that's something unique too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not like you're ever going to...
We were close as a kid to taking, especially those snap frozen mammoths they found, that's clean DNA.
Yeah.
And they have the science right now to
clone them, yeah.
To clone them and bring and to create a new mammoth.
Yeah.
Which would be, imagine that. Imagine going to the zoo and you get to look at a mammoth.
You want fucking Jurassic Park.
I don't want a fucking Jurassic Park, because that show has scared me for life and one of them fuckers gets out. See the
new trailer drop today in the Super
Bowl? No, I haven't. I'll have to watch that.
It's creepy.
Look,
the raptors are back.
Tell you what I'm disappointed about.
What's that?
Well, I got sucked in, really well done, America and Australia, for linking up and fucking fooling the whole world.
I know a new basketball one.
You what?
I know a new one.
Yeah, new Jurassic Park, yes.
And it's...
scary.
And one is T-Rex in it.
It has got T-Rex in it. I'll show you it later, okay?
Yeah, can you imagine them cloning a mammoth so you get to go see a mammoth?
Now, hang on. What'd they suck you into?
Oh, the fuckers! Okay, so I was recently sucked in terribly with that there was going to be a new Crocodile Dundee movie.
How good is it, though?
Fuck, did you see the Super Bowl version?
No.
Oh, well, they did the extended cut.
Oh, really?
As a Super Bowl ad.
It would have been one of the most expensive ads to do, man. Man. Out of Australian stars.
That's the moment Huffer did the ad. That he's like, hang on a sec, hang on a sec. I think this is an advertising commercial for Australia. And he's like, it is. You got me. Like, they just say it. They just fucking say it. Because he's like, we'll see some of the best beaches. We'll go to some of the best wineries. And then the winery moment's like, hey, hang on a sec. Is this an advertising commercial for Australia? Yes, it is. But what it's caused is there's now an online petition, which is up to about 1.5 million signatures. We want a new fucking Crocodile Russell Crowe, Dundee.
I'm the most dangerous thing in Australia. I'm like, fuck off. You know what the most dangerous thing in Australia is? You're fucking being.
Well, we're pretty fucking old. Like, so, what, like, I'm 40, you're 30.
Two.
What year did Crocodile Dundee come out first?
I think it was
86. I think it was 86. So, 86, 96.
I'll Google it.
So if
Google there, it for me, young Jamie.
If there was a son of Crocodile Dundee, he would in fact would be around 30 to 40 years old. Or checking now, fact checking. Chris Hemsworth would be...
1986 it came out.
Yeah, 86. So he'd be 30. No, he'd be...
Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah.
I think Chris Hemsworth is my age. I was born in 1986.
But obviously they've used him in the joke thing now. You can't use him in the actual movie, but...
Oh, I want him to run with fucking... what's his name? Danny McBride. He's fucking funny.
He is funny, but come on. You can't fuck with Croc Dundee, man, that much that you would make him the son of Croc Dundee.
Well, Crocodile Dundee married an American.
I've got a mate I met through jiu-jitsu, Warren. Warren is one of the head researchers looking for the thylacine. Which,
really?
Yeah, which is the Tasmanian tiger.
Tiger. Yeah. That's interesting. So like, I'm a true believer that it's
He's
alive.
Literally gathering resources now to do a full-on two-week journey into the wilderness in Tasmania.
Man, I'd love to have a chat to that guy because I am 100% true believer that thing's still alive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it's sad...
They're creepy animals, man.
Dude, were they a tiger or is that a name?
No, they're a marsupial. They just got a striping banding like a fucking tiger.
Ah.
But...
They're a bit hyena, though. They seem to have a long snout.
They do.
Hyenas are fucking terrifying. I'm more scared of a hyena than I am of a lion.
Well, I remember what Tarbo was telling us, that hyenas used to stalk them at night time and shit. And they'd hear the hee and they're like fucking off in the dark.
You know, Bad, this is a comedian who performed with us Friday night. Shout out to Tarbo Tuma. I think that's how you say his last name. Tuma.
Tumar.
Tumar.
Yeah.
Anyway, good set Friday night.
He's in Zimbabwe.
I think so. He tells a fucking funny story again.
Yeah, he tells
there.
So... He tells... When he tells jokes about Africa, it's fucking funny.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And while we're on it, shout out to Damien, our resident hippie comedian who fucking had a killer set. Deep thought comedy.
It was so funny when he's talking about that video. Is he still... Because I'm like, yeah, that's fucking true. And I'm sitting there 3 years later asking him, why the fuck... During the 7 PM rush and there's no one at the store.
The only time I feel true sadness for someone is when I see someone actually inputting information into the DVD kiosk.
Oh, man.
At your Poon Shopping Centre. And there's a few of them.
Oh,
like,
I see it all the time in Arstown.
I'm like, where are you at in your non-technological life?
Who even owns a DVD player? Sorry to our listeners if you own a DVD player, but
if you're going to that machine, you need to make more friends outside of your inner circle. Like, and fair enough, downloading is a lot harder now.
Have a look at these cunts yawning.
Get some fucking Netflix. Whoa. Wes just showed me a photo of a Tasmanian tiger yawning, and it looks like the fucking old Colgate reach ad.
Yeah,
where the dude's head goes backwards.
I'm like pivoting. They got really long jaws.
Have you ever been up close with a wombat?
Yeah.
Well, so there you go. You know,
imagine that cunt in the dark.
You know, in Queensland, right, wombats are super rare. We get the few types, and you mainly see them at the wildlife centre or the zoo.
Yeah.
So that's how I'd grown up my whole life, thinking wombats were quite a rare animal, and you would never see one in the wild. So until I moved down to the snowfields when I was younger with
they're
Holly.
They're fucking everywhere, man.
They're not just everywhere. They right off cars.
Yeah.
So if they're dead on the side of the road,
sometimes they walk away from it.
Some dude has launched in the air and flipped his car over off the ass of a wombat. Like, it's so sad though when you see that. Like, that's their kangaroo. Like, we see hundreds of roos on the road. They don't give a shit. The locals down there. I'm like, man, so many wombats. That must be horrible. Oh, there's hundreds of them. Like, fuck, not where I'm from.
It's hundreds of times. They just ripped the motor out.
You know what made us all love wombats the most?
Fatso.
You are on fire today, Wes.
Yeah.
A country practice.
Yeah.
How good was that show?
That was good. And then remember Roy and HG during the Sydney Olympics had Fatso the Wombat?
No.
And he was a high diver?
He was called Fatso the Hairy Ass Wombat.
That's right.
I was such a fan that Hotmail wasn't many years long out. I decided to make my Hotmail address Fatso the Hairy Ass Wombat at Hotmail until no one would email me because it's too long.
Yeah. Remember when emails first came about and you had like...
Oh.
Mine was... Like in high school, like you had your high school one that was like, I think it was like a character from a video game. Cypher the Fallen Angel 666-69 at fucking Hotmail.com.
I'm that old. I jumped on Hotmail maybe a couple of months after it started. And do you know what I registered? Hotmail at Hotmail.com. Because I couldn't think of a cool name. Literally, Hotmail. Hotmail at Hotmail.com. And that...
Can you imagine being like their server and like someone's just registered your account and they say, Hotmail. Fuck, how do we not already have that?
I love the stories about the guy that registered, like the internet was like a week old.
Oh, the .com bubbles.
Registered Disney.com.
Domains.
Registered Nike.com. And like, if you still see websites today, they've just put a few words in. It'll be like, Nike, follow the tick at fucking whatever.com.
Justdoit.com. That was like... I remember, obviously, before they had parental filters and shit.
Oh, yeah.
We're in TCC, and, like, the computer lab is only new, right? They used to call it the ERC. We're in there. And they're like, just do some research. I'm like, yeah, righto. I'm like, okay, channel10.com. So I just put in 10.com, hit enter, fucking porn site thing. And like, I'm waiting for it to load me. She goes around, what are you looking at? And I'm like, I'm not even looking at it. Well, there was no speakers.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
You know, like, what your style is, 56K dial-up. She comes around, she's like, oh, that's not appropriate. And I'm like, well, what? I went to channel10.com. She's like, no, you're on 10.com. You need to put AU after it. I'm like, fuck. Like, you know.
I remember.
That was the 90s.
Just before internet came out, internet was out in America. And out in a few countries around the world, but it wasn't quite in New Zealand or Australia yet.
88 it came in.
Yeah, Australia. Yeah. So I was fully like, fuck man, I can get on this internet thing myself. So back then the computers even had a phone plug at the back.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know anything about modems. I just remember trying to rewire the phone into the computer.
Yeah.
I'm sort of glad now because I would definitely be Julian Assange. How would you go being locked in the fucking Ecuadorian embassy for now? What are we up to? 3 years? 4 years?
Are you talking about Julian Assange?
Yeah. How many fucking years has he had to live in the Ecuadorian embassy? They're only talking now of America giving him a pardon or some shit.
Well, I think it's the Dutch that still want him for those sex charges.
No, that's dropped. The charges are dropped.
See, it was all bullshit.
Yeah.
See, him and Ed Snowden, they need to just forget about it.
Yeah, they need to fucking let it go.
Because you know Snowden's still living in an unmarked location in Russia.
Why wouldn't you offer Julian Assange $1 million, $1 billion a year, whatever, to just be misinformation? If you wanted to hide shit, you'd get someone like that at the fucking head of your organisation.
You know who I reckon will pardon them? Trump.
It's interesting.
Because he's fucking got a bone to pick with the CIA and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah, from the start.
Anyway, we're really sidetracked here, guys, but...
But, yeah, thank you for that story, Wes. A fucking lion south of Merionvale.
Seen a lion. I just looked it up.
If anyone's from Merionvale, we'd love a message to know if that is actually a town thing.
So I just typed in big cat seen near Merionvale.
Yes.
So it's come up with...
I know there was an attack on a horse in Gympie a year ago.
Yeah, May 25th, 2017.
Yep.
Lots of big cat reportings around the fucking Gympie area.
Yep.
Apparently it's a hotspot.
Yep.
Bundaberg.
Mm.
Sunshine Coast Hinterlands.
Yep. That one, there's a lot of Sunshine Coast Hinterland.
But like, my grandfather used to tell me stories about seeing big cats up in fucking Struck Oil and places like that.
I don't know if you remember, when I was a kid, a circus had like 20 fucking lions. And the one dude would go in the middle with his whip and his chair and shit. And just like you see on TV now... He would be the lion tamer. That was the actual official title. And he would get them fuckers to stand on stools and do tricks, jump through hoops with a whip and a chair. So if you got that many lions, it just takes one accident, one cage fall over, one truck roll over. And as if you're reporting it too. If you're on the highway and you get a couple lions escape, you're just fucking driving off. Yeah. You're not putting up with that shit.
Well, a lot of the times back in the day too, when circuses would go bust.
Yeah.
They just, fuck, you know, that. Or if they had a mutiny,
yep,
they just let the animals out.
Yep.
You know?
But basically, as if, you know, if someone, there wasn't much to do back then if you're a couple of drunk fucking teenagers, as if there weren't a few sneak in and let the fucking animals loose.
Yeah. Now, when I was a kid, I always got told that Lion Mountain Road, heading out towards Alton Downs, was called Lion Mountain Road because there was a circus in town and the lions escaped. And they ended up shooting, like, I think it was like three that escaped and they got two of them.
Fuck.
So one was always unaccounted for.
How's that?
So that, I don't know if that's true or not, but that was always the rumour that we were told of why it's called Lion Mountain Road.
It's funny how quick we lose information now.
Well, yeah, you think in the last 100 years, like, there's a couple of generations though.
But if it didn't make it from paper transfer to digital transfer, like, come on, we would have only captured 1% of all paper records.
Oh.
And, you know, that we've lost so much fucking info. You need to go to a retirement home and you need to find the switched on ones to really get the true history of this region. I mean, look at fucking Callaghan Raceway, named after Dr. Callaghan. And like we talked about in the last episode,
the cover's a grave robber.
He's a grave robber that dug up the head.
That mutilated corpses.
For scientific research, like.
You know, like.
And admitted it.
Yeah.
They still named the raceway
to
after
the police
him.
Guy. To like the Minister of Police. Who was just like, they offered too much money for that reward. You know, like, what the fuck? I don't know. But,
Yeah, make sure you write in if you're from around Miriam Vale or any big cat sightings. It's an interesting topic. We'll have to, instead of Shark Week, we'll have fucking cat, big cat week.
Big cat week.
Big cat week. Big cat hunters.
So, I've seen on the messages that we've been getting a few messages off of.
Yep.
I think you're the one that responds to them.
I do, yeah. I do. I leave it as long as I can because I know you're editing.
Is there anything in there?
At the moment.
Like, is there anything that we need to bring up?
Oh, no, we've got a few, I'll tell you, I had a funny call the other night.
Oh, did you?
I thought it was linked to the episode, but it wasn't. I worked out what it was.
Thought we were going to be rich and famous.
I get a call at 9:30 at night, and this lady goes, hello? And I said, oh, hello? And I thought, it's way too late for me to answer with the business Rhino Mixed Martial Arts. And she goes, I need help, is David there? I said, oh, no, there's no David here. You must have the wrong number. Oh, no, I haven't. This is the martial art club. I want to tell you, I've got a spirit in my house.
Hang on, what?
So I'm like, we teach martial arts. I really can't help you at this time. And she's like, oh, but you have to help me. Well, I'm going to tell David when I talk to him. And I hang up.
It's not that creepy ask David bullshit, is it?
So I'm laying in bed and Holly was next to me and she's like, why didn't you stay on the phone? That was so fucking interesting.
No, Holly, that's not interesting. Yeah, that's like, fucking terrifying.
Well, we worked out there's another martial art club and their instructor's name's David and he's a priest or he's a pastor. What's the one in Christianity where you can just name yourself a fucking pastor? A pastor. Priest you have to go to seminary pastor, school, yeah, for. Yeah. So he's a pastor, so he must do house exorcisms and shit. And she was ringing up for that. She goes, there's a spirit in my house, but I'm not crazy.
You can become ordained online. You just got to pay money.
Yeah, anyway, that's who she thought she was ringing. Yeah, we crazy. Didn't work it out till the next day, though.
Well, was that the Yipoon
club? Yeah, Yipoon. So I thought it was like a... I thought they'd got my number through CQ Myths and Legends. And she was telling us of a story idea. Oh, sorry. Yes, in the message we do...
You've
so,
got a phone number here.
I reached out to the people who do the paranormal experiences.
Nice.
And they do the ghost tours as well. And they've got a few great stories. So for the next episode, I'd love to contact them. And we're going to get a few in to tell us a few of the grisly murders and deaths that happened in Rockhampton and the sightings of their ghosts that come afterwards. So one they were talking about the other day was a drowning during the floods. And that he still comes back. So, we're going to get a few really good local ghost stories.
Well, this is really weird. I've just opened the messages there, and there's one from a Natalie Curtis.
Hey, Nat, how are you?
She has sent us a news article. Sorry, I don't really check this.
And this goes with the big cat thing.
Yeah, man-eating tiger eats man on George Street.
In Brisbane.
In Brisbane?
Yeah.
In 1888. How fuck would that
be? So, he gets out... Yeah, mauls a dude, and then fucking... He lived, though. He lived.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great story. How's that? Just happened to open that one on Big Cat Week. So, on Natalie, you inspired George this.
Turbot Street. I was only staying there the other day. It was a Bengal tiger, the big ones.
But, man. Yeah, read it out. Read the article. It's interesting.
Okay, so man-eating tiger eats man on George Street, Brisbane. I don't think he survived, but ate him.
No, no, he did. They just loved...
1888. That was a good year, mate. That was the year that Bundy Rum was made. Make tracks if tiger attacks, it says. The neighbourhood was all hustle and bustle in the early mornings on Turbot Street, Brisbane, providing the street frontage to the Brisbane produce markets. Wow, they had markets there. Man. Yeah. That's near Queen Street.
Yeah.
Where produce from all over Queensland was freighted in the back door from Roma Street rail yards, which is now like the main hub for rail travel in Queensland, out the front door to be processed or sold by Brisbane factories, produce merchants and fruit shops by lunchtime, blah, 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 blah. From a narrow alley opposite the markets ran a mauled and bleeding Peter Bertram. And in hot pursuit, full-grown Bengal tiger. Man, I would I'd hope he likes dirty food, so I would shit my pants. Bertrand was an animal keeper. Oh, okay. And one of his charges, Sammy the Tiger, from the travelling zoo, had escaped and decided that Bertrand would be his lunchtime playmate. Bertrand was literally running for his life towards George Street, having already been mauled by the tiger, dragging him down for a final go as horrified onlookers did what anyone would do in that situation. Took out their phones and took photos. They made tracks. It's funny, you know, like, today.
Oh, man.
People would be just filming that.
Oh, fucking A.
It'd be like, one person would be like, oh, someone should do something.
Yeah.
On last Wednesday week, the inhabitants of George Street and Turbot Street were considerably startled at seeing an enormous Bengal tiger spring through their... Fuck, I can't even say that word. It's like some old English word.
Yeah.
His vast frame was flying through the air as if propelled from a catapult, and with a roar seized an unfortunate man and fell him to the earth with one blow from its terrible paw. The victim... One Peter Bertram was an instant lay motionless in the gutter while the tiger crouched on the ground, snarling and growling most horribly. The passers-by, meanwhile, making tracks from the vicinity, the tiger then seemingly satisfied him with his work, got up and was moving away when Bertram, finding himself free, rose and started to run. Instantly, the beast's feline nature asserted itself, and again it sprang upon the unfortunate man, this time seizing him with its teeth and lacerating his neck and back with its terrible claws. At this moment, Higgins, the proprietor of the Menangree, must be an old hotel or something.
Yep.
And one of Valentine E. Spenlove's, I'm guessing he was a fucking person of the area that was well known, of Rosalie, appeared on the scene, and both without any hesitation rushed forward to saveth the man. It's weird how they used to talk, eh?
Fuck yeah.
Spenlove, who deserves the very greatest credit. It's weird how they didn't put spaces in between some of their words.
Yeah.
Greatest credit for his presence of mind and pluck, seized Bertram's arm and dragged him away, whilst Higgins, with the courage of a hero, deliberately thrust his arms into the brute's mouth, thinking that by virtue of his long knowledge of the animal, that it would not bite him. In this, he was mistaken.
This is the zoo owner!
As the powerful jaws closed over the limb, and the blood instantly spurted from the deep gashes made by the animal's teeth. Not to be deterred by this, however, Higgins held on to the animal, and getting his arms free, he laboured him about the head with a stick, and by creating a diversion enabled Spendylove to drag Bertram from the spot where he lay bathed in his own blood. By this time, Higgins had again got command of the tiger, and by dint of much flogging, finally got him back to the circus, I'd say. That's what the word is.
Fuck, just beat him.
And chained him up. Bertram was taken to the hospital, where he now lies in a rather precarious condition. But his life will probably be saved. Higgins' wounds are progressing favourably also. The outcome of all of this is that the circus will be removed from the place it occupies, and the corner of Turbot and George Streets and the inhabitants of the vicinity objecting to wild beasts in such close proximity, though as the tiger escaped by reason of negligence on Bertram's behalf, no blame can be attached to Higgins. Rather should credit be given to him and Spendlove for their courageous and valiant way in which they went to the rescue.
Oh, that's an actual tiger attack in Brisbane.
That's an actual news article.
1888.
From 1888. The 21st of November, 1888. Yeah, just a normal day in Brisbane. You're at the markets. Fucking bam, tiger attack.
And so that shows, if they imagine they're in the bush doing a show and they get off that chain, they're fucking gone. You ain't getting them back. The city's going to encapsulate a tiger to a certain extent. You're going to find him. But in the bush...
How did he not think that a tiger was going to bite him on the arm?
No, do you know what it is? I've seen it before. You know when they get real comfortable, like the lady got mauled by a chimp? They get real comfy that they've had it since it was a baby. They've tamed this thing. I love the wording.
And this, he was mistaken.
Are you more scared of a full-grown chimpanzee rampaging or a tiger rampaging?
Depends on the setting.
What about before that story come out? Where you were scared as chimpanzees is when he bit the man's genitals off and his face.
Okay. depending on
just
setting,
last question before we wrap up.
Depending on setting.
Okay.
Right? If we're in, like, bush area.
Yep.
I'd be way more terrified of a tiger. Yeah, because they're ambush predators.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we're in, like, a city setting and there's a fucking angry chimpanzee, fuck that shit. Those fuckers are like 10 times stronger. Joe Rogan tells that story about having a baby one hit him.
And it winded him.
And
man,
it winded him. Like it was playing and just slapping him on the back. And he was like, yeah, you know, this fucking hurts. And like, he's a tank of a dude. It's not a little guy. Yeah. But man, and that was a baby. Imagine a full grown one.
Oh, like, man.
I've heard of them like, well, okay, I can tell you about chimpanzees because I've been up to the zoo and you walk along the top of the cage where the plumbers were.
Yep.
Now, I used to wear steel cap boots, so I'm up the top there, looking at some irrigation shit.
Yep.
And they're cheeky fuckers, because I was standing with my foot on the cage, and he stuck one finger up through the cage, Rocky, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he put his finger over my steel cap, and I could not move. And like, Paulie, the guy I was with, is like, yeah, they do that. He's like, don't worry, he'll let go soon. And like, a fucking keeper came and like threw something in and he let go of me. But it was like a game.
One finger. Knew you could and you
like,
could.
Like, no secrets to my weight. I was fucking heavy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, I could not lift my leg. I'm a full grown man. I'm 6 foot tall and I could not move. And that was a very old chimpanzee.
Cassie and Oggy are their names, sorry.
Rocky was the one that died.
That was Oggy.
I'll take the rubbish out. It stinks.
No, that's me.
You fart?
Yeah.
That's rough.
Thanks, man. I've been back on ketosis, so that really means a lot.
That is...
You can't leave that in.
That's... That's going to outlast religion, that smell.
Yeah, so Cassie and Oggy, and I think it's Oggy that passed away. I can't remember, but now
there's
they've got
like four of them, man.
Yeah, they've got like four of them in there, and they still fucking... They get a bit... I think they get a bit mad. They sometimes pace the same way, but fuck, I love them, man.
You know what I fucking really like?
What?
And I wanted to steal one while I was there.
What?
Meerkats.
Oh, wouldn't you fucking love one of them cruising
around? They're fucking cool.
What about when people tame a fox? Have you seen tame foxes?
Oh, you seen all the videos? Like,
yeah.
They're like, you dug a hole through my bed to the floor and it's like, they laugh.
They look like Pokemon, man.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They got like those, they got really cool coloration.
Just quickly while before we finish and I've got to get to training on animals. Have you seen the fucking article about the Australian black kite? The kites, like the sort of small eagles,
yep.
Spreading fires.
Yes. Yeah.
So for those that don't know, they've literally been a few witnesses now. They've yet to record it. But the black kite is that fucking smart that when there's a bushfire, it will go to the non the side it's not heading to, so it's safe. It'll find a burning fucking stick or ember on
drops
a stick.
Drops embers, yeah.
Pick it up, take it to a new part, and drop it in long grass because the fire scares out all the lizards and small game.
Smart, eh?
That's fucking full on, man. Yeah. And they reckon that's like all firemen now are spinning out because there's sort of a mystery thing sometimes how a fire will jump a couple of K and they always think it's airborne embers, but now there's a good chance the fucking birds are doing it.
Yeah, that's creepy, eh?
It's fucking awesome.
Hitchcock was onto something.
Oh, don't start, man. That movie still freaks me out.
All right.
Well, this has been a great cast. Thank you, Wes.
No worries.
And the Lion of Miriam Vale. The mystery continues.
It's out there.
Thank you to all our listeners. This week's episode has been brought to you by our good friends down the beach, the Jam Cafe. The Jam Cafe is open 6 days a week and does one of the biggest big breakfasts you've ever fucking had in your life. I'll tell you that. Mm. If you can get through this thing, homemade sausage, bacon, eggs, baked beans, spinach, everything, you are doing pretty good. And if you are after a proper big breakfast, not a rip-off one, make sure you head into the Jam Factory in Yeppoon. It is amazing.
All right. See you later.
See you guys. You gotta get yours before I gotta get mine. Everything is fine when you're listening to the DOG. I got the cultivating music that be captivating me. Who listens to the words that I speak as I take me a drink to the middle of the street and get to mackin' to this bitch named Shady. She used to be the homeboy's lady. Oh, that bitch. 80 degrees when I tell that bitch, please raise up off these NUTs, cause you gets none of these at ease. As I mob with the dog pound, feel the breeze. Biatch, I'm just rolling down the street, smoking indo, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back, with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking indo, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back, with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Later on that day, my homie Dr. Dre came through with a gang to Tango Ray. And a fat ass Jake of some bubonic chronic that made me choke. Shit, this ain't no joke. I had to back up off of it and sit my cup down. Tango Ray and chronic, yeah, I'm fucked up now. But it ain't no stopping, I'm still popping. Dre got some bitches from the city of Compton to serve me, not with a cherry on top. Cause when I bust my nut, I'm raising the box to cock. Don't get upset, girl, that's just how it goes. I don't love you hoes, I'm out the dope. And I'll be rolling down the street, smoking indo, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back.